What up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Pac-12. I'm your host, Cindy Robinson, and today we are going to be talking Utah, recapping their game from last week, and taking a preview at their first game going into conference play, which will be against my Washington State Cougars. So you already know this week is a battle between me and my great friend, Brian Brown, but it'll be all good and a little bit of fun as well. So, you know how we do.
You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for tuning in to Locked On Pac-12. You already know this is the best place to get all of your Pac-12 conference news. Locked On Pac-12 podcast hosted by me, Cindy Robinson. So follow the Locked On Pac-12 podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Today, joining me is Brian Brown from Locked On Utes because we are focusing on Utah and how they played in that last game, the last game of their non-conference schedule. Before, you know, jumping into what will be, I will say, a pretty rough schedule ahead coming into the Pac-12 play. But, Brian, how was your weekend?
I was hoping that we could just skip to the whole, let's talk about Utah versus Washington State, but you're going to make me relive bad memories. The weekend overall was good. You and I both share love of tacos, and I got some really good tacos over the weekend. Unfortunately, I was hoping they'd be victory tacos, and they were not, thanks to the University of Utah throwing out a real stinker of a first and half and third quarter for the most part. Rallied there in the fourth quarter with a quarterback change, managed to get back into it, and then I found out firsthand that the new overtime rules just really suck. So other than that, it was a good weekend, I love weekends because weekends are better than weekdays because, no work and whatnot, but not a great effort from the University of Utah, without a doubt.
So they're going into conference play 1-2, lost to BYU, lost to San Diego State. Just first discuss before we dive into deep, like what went wrong and all of that, like how is that affecting their momentum and confidence ahead of a conference play?
You would think that things would be, rain clouds and destruction and all that kind of stuff. It's the first time that Utah's lost back-to-back out-of-conference games in 19 years. Yikes. So literally you weren't even driving the last time they last lost back-to-back.
Fair. Mm-hmm. I had to do the math really quick, I'm not that old.
You youngins, the new maths, they take a little bit longer sometimes.
But
you would think that Utah fans would be losing their minds and going crazy, and they were until Tuesday when news broke that quarterback Charlie Brewer was leaving the program and Cameron Rising was taking over. And I got to be honest, the mood around here is definitely rising as well. Utah fans are loving the change. Cameron Rising sparked a 14-point comeback. He tied up the game. He was effective. We saw an offense that moved the football. They were able to put up points in overtime. In fact, if it wasn't for an overturned catch, that game may still be going on. We don't even know. It would have ended eventually, but Rising brought a breath of fresh air, a lot of excitement and energy to a Utah offense that's just been lackluster is being polite. They've been awful. And so I think and for some reason, Utah fans have started calling Cameron Rising a thick boy, I guess because he's got a little thicker, thick thighs and runs and he's hard to tackle. So that combined with some fun on social media has really made it, almost a positive week in some respects. More hopeful, I think, than anything is the best way to describe it.
Is there any shock to Charlie Brewer's decision to leave the program? I feel like that is in a very extreme situation, especially how early it is in the season, but to not only I may be having to sit down, because I kind of might be getting beat out of my position, but I'm actually going to up and leave. That just sounds like, a real drastic move.
It is, but I think on Brewers' side of things, it's a move that had to be made in order to preserve eligibility. And that's the biggest thing. You know, he is a four-year starter that transferred to the University of Utah, and he came there for one thing, to be the starting quarterback and to play football. That had dried up. And I think even Charlie Brewer knew that that job was gone, and he could stay around and wait and possibly, you know, hope for an injury or maybe even just like – now that he'd played in three games, you know, the fact of maintaining a redshirt was even more tenuous. And so he made a decision that was best for him and his football future. You know, I don't know that Utah fans are upset necessarily. I think there's maybe a little bit of like, wow, you couldn't even stick it out for the year. But for the most part, I think it was just obvious. You know, the offense was much more effective under Rising. He's an exciting player. He's been in the program for a while. You know, had he not gotten hurt against USC in 2020, he likely would have started all five or six games for the University of Utah then. You know, so I think it is a shocking development without a doubt, and it's very rare that Utah's ever in the national headlines for a midweek situation. But that's really what happened with Brewer, and you know, you wish him the best of luck. I as former athletes, I think we both would agree, like, go out and play as long as you possibly can, do whatever you can to secure that. But at the same time, like, it's weird because there was so much excitement and hype and talk about him being the guy, and you know, I don't know that Utah always gave him the fairest of shakes in terms of the system and the things that they ran. But you know, it's they are where they are right now, and it'll be fascinating to see if things don't go well for Cameron Rising, what happens next. But, you know, that's definitely more of a naysayer's perspective.
Yeah. Okay, well, coming up next, we'll dive deeper into what went wrong in that San Diego State game against Utah. But for those of you into betting, this is the perfect time for you to check out betonline.ag. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts. Okay, Brian, this is a time where we have to, you know, get a little more detail. We need to know what happened to your Utah Utes against San Diego State. May I add, San Diego State, BYU, I don't know about UNLV, but San Diego State and BYU now seem to have, I want to say, a chokehold, but actually I think San Diego State lost to ASU. Am I wrong?
No. UNLV lost to ASU. BYU is now beaten ASU. And San Diego State's beaten Arizona and Utah.
There you go. So San Diego State and BYU have a chokehold on the Pac-12. BYU ran through the Pac-12 like Tomb Raider.
The Saints beat the Sinners definitely in that one. You know, as BYU emerged victorious over the Sun Devils.
Yeah, that works. I had to figure it out. I was like, are they the Saints? Like, what? Great analogy there, metaphor, whatever you want to call it. Love it. But either way, I need to know what went wrong. You were very upset after the BYU game. I know this game was closer, score was closer, but a lot to critique, a lot of things that just weren't good and that wouldn't be good in Pac-12 play.
No, it's bad, really. And you know, I think there is some optimism surrounding Cameron Rising stepping into the reins, but the biggest problem is Are the guys up front going to block for him? And we saw a lot of shuffling throughout the San Diego State game, trying to find an answer. And it does feel like Utah maybe has. Braden Daniels, who started the season left guard, has bumped out to right tackle. They've brought in Keaton Bills, who started a few games to secure that left guard position. Jaron Kump, who was injured to start the season, has now played in his second game. So they are optimistic that that group is going to improve. But if it doesn't, this is a disaster for Utah. We've already seen them play two good defensive fronts in San Diego State and BYU, and say what you will, those are both teams that are undefeated currently, and you can't really say the same thing for the rest of the Pac-12, especially the South. And we talked that this was going to be a rough season as is, just with all the Southern teams, for you to drop out of conference games the way that every school almost has. It's scary. You know, Fresno State, I think, is the other one that has just steamrolled every Pac-12 South team that they've played, seemingly. Dropped a tough one at Oregon, beat UCLA the other night. And so maybe some of this is just the COVID effect, right, of only playing five or six games for a lot of these programs last year, being late to start, whatever. But Utah has bigger problems than just the quarterback position. The defensive line's been pushed around a little bit. They lost two starters to season-ending injuries. Corner JT Broughton, who I think was an NFL guy if he played through all the entire season. Vianney Mawala, defensive tackle, going up against a team like Washington State that has a pretty reliable offensive line for the most part, they're going to miss him big time. I do feel like Utah's got a little bit of an opportunity to get right, as we've seen Washington State's defensive front has still struggled a little bit early on this season. But these are two teams that both need a victory, something fierce, right? And so you're going to learn a lot about these teams, these programs. We've not seen a lot of this kind of struggle from a Kyle Whittingham team in recent years in the Pac-12. Early years when they first started out, 5-7, a couple years back-to-back. We're always looking for that breakthrough win. Now what they're really looking for is a back-on-track victory. I think it's going to be very close. I do think Utah has as good a shot to win this game as they have any on their schedule. But by no means are all their problems solved, without a doubt.
Well, yeah, we saw Washington State start off really well against USC. Looked like they were going to just dominate, start of the game 14-0, yeah, just to let it slip out of their fingers, which, whole nother level of disappointment that I don't want to talk about right now.
Right,
but
right.
With that being said, I do think that they have something there. It's a matter of just executing throughout the whole game and, being able to get those stops. That is a major thing that obviously came to work against them, against USC.
I think the biggest thing is, it's like you said, Washington State let a lot slip through their hands. They had all the opportunities in the world. Keaton Slovis goes down, Jackson Dart steps in, makes a few mistakes, and they could never capitalize on those mistakes and ended up making some mistakes of their own. And I think that's the biggest thing, right? Like, the great teams separate themselves by minimizing those mistakes and capitalizing on the mistakes of the others. And that's really the MO for both of these teams right now. They need to find rhythm. That offense for Washington State, at times it's clicking. It seems like they're starting to get the ball into Max Borghi's hands finally. Shout out to RBs for getting our RB number one, an NIL deal, with Borghi. But like, he's got to be the motor. Got to be it. And then you're starting to see, because he can do some things and get some defenses wary, that's going to open up things for the passing game. And they've got some good receivers there, but it's very similar sets here, right? These are two teams that are out of rhythm. It's like a car that's misfiring, and they need to figure out how to get those plugs fixed. And it starts with mistakes, self-inflicted mistakes too. Not things that are being caused by the other teams.
Yeah. Coming up next, Brian and I will touch on a little more about conference play starting. And I do want to ask Brian a little bit about some of these teams that are starting to look a little flukish, in my opinion. But we'll dive into that next. Before that, for those of you that may be looking for a new snack that's healthy and tasty, Built Bar is for you. Literally has 9 delicious flavors for you to choose from a coconut almond flavor to cherry, raspberry, And then to those chocolate flavors, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. Literally something for everyone. And if you're someone who likes to try them all, there's something for you. It's called a mix box. You can get two of each of the 9 flavors. Now, I mentioned it's healthy as well as tasty. Yeah, it's 17 to 18 grams of protein. It's low in calories, low in sugar, and low in net carbs. You're really not beating this, you guys, I'm telling you. And Brian will vouch for it. He loves them. He eats them all the time, raves about them, telling me about a new flavor every chance he can get. So trust me, it's worth the try. If you want to try them out, you can go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Now for my college football fanatics, have you heard of Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this. I know you will too. It's just another way to play daily fantasy, but it's college sports. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world, and they offer all the star players of the Power 5 as well as mid-major players you might have never even heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over and under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. And it's just you versus the projected numbers. You can literally mix sports entries. You can take the over on LeBron, combine it with the under on Mahomes in the same entry. So use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's literally that easy. PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com and go to the App Store and download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. I'm telling you, Brian, I'm not a huge daily fantasy person because fantasy football already gives me anxiety, but PrizePicks is fun to work with, fun to get your, you know, get in the mix of fantasy, daily fantasy, win a little money, you know, never hurt nobody. You're muted. Look how you do me. Look how you do me.
I just wanted to let you sizzle as long as you possibly could. You know, sizzle. Like, sell that sizzle. The steak is, you know, it's whatever. Like,
Oh my God.
But that's like how daily fantasy is, right? That's your daily sizzle. It gets you popping, you know, gets you excited, gets you researching stuff.
Yeah.
It's fun. Like, I love it during basketball season.
No, that's too hectic. We're not even talking about that right now. We're not there yet. October hasn't even hit. I refuse to talk about that. Like,
it's not like training camps open next week or anything.
Too much. No, nope, not in my eyes. We're not talking about it. It's not happening. Anyways, back to football. So, we've been harping on a lot of teams not living up to expectations. And I did not expect this team to fall under that after being so surprising to start off the season. And that's UCLA. They started the season off a lot better than we both had expected and anticipated, only to fall short after that bye week. And I wonder if it was the bye week that may have contributed to this, because it's so early in the season. Did they really need the break yet? No. They were on a roll, had great momentum in those first two games, and then came back against the Fresno State team that I just wouldn't have expected to come and, you know, be the team to beat them.
You wouldn't. And then you look at their roster and you realize that it's just loaded with dudes. Jalen Cropper, the wide receiver that seemed to be everywhere, was a guy that had multiple Pac-12 offers, decided to stay home in Fresno, and it's paying dividends for him. Jake Haener, transfer from Washington, you know, and man, like, I don't know about you, but watching that game, I'm like, how do you pick Dylan Morris over Jake Haener? I don't know. Like, I'm not a coach. Clearly, I'm just a dude that they gave a microphone for some reason, but he's a gutty kid and he throws a great football and he's confident and he's out there just playing through broken hip or something. Like, it looks like, you know, whatever was going on, like, that guy was going off. And you know, there's some more transfers from P5 programs, including across the Pac-12. So they have some dudes there, but by contrast, like, that UCLA offense was not firing the way that we saw it earlier in the year, you know, and it did look like, for some reason, once they during the bye week, that slowed things down a little bit, and they started to warm back up. I think that's really evident in the second half, right, where they started to climb back into it, and it was going neck and neck. I think the thing that was really most bothersome to me watching that game was we saw shades of previous UCLA defenses and not the defense that we've seen, right? Like that defense was soft. It was allowing a lot of stuff underneath. It was, they were getting pressure on Hayner, but they weren't getting any kind of play on the back end. And that's a big change from what we've seen from UCLA so far this year. And I think that's the part where I look at it and be like, that has me nervous.
So did this one game make you question if UCLA is the real deal? Are they the real top contenders of the Pac-12 South? Or is it like still too early to tell? It was one game. Give them a little break. Give them some grace. Where are you standing at?
I don't think they were ever the real contender. I think a lot of that was national hype because they beat LSU, and okay. LSU is a team that's still struggling, right? Like we're seeing them kind of bump along a little bit too. And that's not to take anything off of that win. It was a big win for UCLA. And I think that program is back to a degree. Nothing is back to the level that Texas needs to get back. Right. But they are still in process. Like the loading circle is still spinning for them, and we're still kind of updating some of the things here. And I think we saw it with the defense, right? First and foremost, and DTR has not avid fan, and I still believe in the guy, but he's not really taking that next step, right? Like he's executing the stuff that Chip wants him to run, and the running game is clicking, and it's going well. I think the next step is for him to be out there, getting his Lamar on and being a stone cold killer in the throw game. Until that really happens, like this is going to be another team that's going to be a massive hurdle for everybody else. But I don't think you can call him a clear front runner without a doubt.
Okay. Well, Pac-12 play starts this weekend. We will see lots of teams facing each other. And it gets real at this point. I mean, it was already real seeing college football back, but like now we're in the thick of it. Conferences all across the country are starting to actually, start their in-conference play. And this is when things get really good. This is when you start, weeding out the winners from the losers, per se. Come on, Washington State, I need you to get it together, okay? I need y'all to get it together. That's all I'm saying.
Next week. They can do it next week.
No, this week. They cannot lose against Utah. It's out. We didn't even come up with our bet.
No, we were going to. It's got to be okay.
We have another show that we're going to do this week, so we'll have the bet for the world to tell them what it is ahead of the game. So yes, stay tuned. If you guys have any suggestions for our bet, hit us up on @LO_Pac12 on Twitter or _CindyRobinson or @BrownBearSLC, and then you can also follow along on Twitter, Locked On Utes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Brian don't like to tell nobody about that one, but it's out there for you Utah fans. And then you can also follow on the Odyssey app, Locked On Pac-12 and Locked On Utes, or wherever you get your podcasts. For those of you into betting, you definitely want to check out the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. You can get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. So follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by the Odyssey app or betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. Other than that, stay locked on the Pac-12 on the Locked On Network, as things are getting deeper and deeper for Pac-12 football. And as Brian was starting to talk about, college basketball is right around the corner as well. So, a lot in the works, a lot for you to keep up with, and we got you right here on the Locked On Network.